Man, I'm so excited to be here, and I want to just start by saying this. I want you to lean in today. I want you to lean in to everything that the Lord wants to do. And here's what I'll say. When someone like Pastor Bill comes in, oftentimes our faith level rises based upon the name of an individual. Is that true? That honor, that faith level, it rises based on what an individual carries with Jesus. But I want your faith level not to be in a man today. I want it to be in the person of Jesus. It's not about, and I know this sounds almost contradictory to what we do even with conferences and different things, but I just feel like it needs to be said that everyone who comes up on a platform is just a man at the end of the day. And that's not disrespectful to say. That is humility. That's not disrespect. I'm not disrespecting Pastor Bill by saying that. I believe he would agree with me that at the end of the day, we are all just vessels who once were sinners, but now saints, baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I want you to put your faith not in a man, but in the God-man. I want you to put your faith in the person of Jesus. And I want to just kind of continue on with where I feel like Bill took us this weekend. And how many of you guys were blessed? I know we've asked that, but it was just such an honor to have Pastor Bill with us. I want to kind of continue on where he left off, and I definitely won't do it justice. I'll probably just start with saying that. But I want to talk to you guys today about an open heaven. And we're gonna kind of just jump in and dive in, but I want to just to pray and welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit even more. Can you guys just lean in with me? Just close your eyes all over this room. Holy Spirit, we need you. Lord Jesus, we need you. We're hungry for you. Lord, your word says that a broken and a contrite heart, you do not despise. But Lord, you come. I feel like the Lord is saying this. The Lord wants to comfort and heal the brokenhearted today. Come on, that's the ministry of Jesus. It says he was anointed to bind up the brokenhearted. That Jesus was anointed, is anointed to bind up and heal your wounds, to bind up the brokenhearted. If you've come in here with a heavy heart this morning, the Lord is binding up the brokenhearted. I feel that. I see the Lord. I see like that emoji of the cracked heart. And I feel this morning that God, and this has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but I just feel it by the Spirit of God, that if you've come in here with a heavy broken heart, I want you just to lift up your hand right now. I want you just to confess in the presence of God, this is where I'm at. I've come in here with a heavy, broken heart. I see hands. I see your hands. Lord, I thank you. You can put your hands down. Lord, I thank you that you are mending and healing broken hearts in this room. And Lord, I thank you, Jesus, instead of ashes, you are giving a crown of beauty instead of ashes. You're giving a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. I'm just going to turn to Isaiah 61 right now. We're just going to see what the Lord wants to do this morning. How about that? If I don't get to my notes, that's okay. But I want to just read this over you. You can open up your eyes this morning, but this is what the Isaiah 61 says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. This is talking about Jesus. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Come on, has anyone in here ever felt like a captive to something before? Like you were bound by something before? Jesus' anointing sets you free from bondage that you can't break yourself. the anointing that's on Jesus, the Spirit of God who's anointed Jesus, Jesus has come to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. Come on, I remember when my uncle committed suicide in 2015. It was the heaviest time of my life, and I felt so broken, I felt so empty, I felt so depressed. And Jesus came and he comforted me in my mourning. He comforted me, and it says this, it says that he actually is the lifter of our heads. He's our glory and the lifter of our heads, that when we're mourning, Jesus actually comes and lifts our heads. I love this. To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Come on, this is for somebody today. Sorrow might endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's not a Jonah one-liner, that's the Bible. That though you might weep in the night, joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. He wants to give you the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle or the garment of praise instead of a spirit of fainting or heaviness. Do you know that instead of depression, that Jesus actually wants you to give you a garment of praise to where you're twirling and dancing in his presence, where it once felt hard to smile, where it once felt hard to laugh, where it once felt hard to dance. Jesus wants to put his garment on you so you have something to dance about again. I don't even know how I got to this part. I was not going to talk about this. It's like, we're talking about a great weekend. And it's like, why is Jonah talking about sorrow? I feel this morning that Jesus wants to lift heaviness off of people. And he's the only one who can do it. You cannot fake it till you make it. You can try. Someone just laughed. She's like, no, you cannot just fake it till you make it. Have you ever tried to do that? Even in the church, have you ever tried to do that when someone comes up to you? I know I've said this before, but someone comes up to you and they're like, how are you doing today? And you're like, blessed and highly favored, brother, but you just lied to them. Some of you did. Some of you were like, no, I'm actually so blessed. That's awesome. But if you've ever been there where you've actually carried a bit of heaviness, I'm telling you today, you cannot fake it till you make it. You have to come to the one who can actually resurrect that thing in you that's dead. And it's not about coming to some, I'm just going to go after it. It's not about coming to some charismatic meeting. It's about coming to the person of Jesus. And I think that's what, I mean, and I feel like I can say that with authority because I've been to so many meetings before, but even when a man of God lays hands on me, sometimes things shift when that happened because of the anointing. But it's not about some man of God laying hands on you, even though that's good. Please hear my heart. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying always, like, if Bill Johnson is here, I want him to lay hands on me. I'm saying yes to that. If Michael Koulianos is here, please, Michael, lay hands on me. I want to receive from what God's put in your life. But what I'm saying is if we're not careful, we can idolize a man instead of coming to Jesus. And then you won't actually receive all that God wants to do in your life because what they have found in the secret place. I remember I came to, we're just going to go there today. I remember I came to this prophet named Graham Cook. And anybody ever heard of Graham Cook? This makes me laugh, man. I was at this conference called Piercing the Darkness at Bethel. I was 15 years old. And I go there and Graham preaches. And in my heart, I'm like, I'm about to go up there and ask for Graham Cook's anointing. Anybody ever done that before? Don't raise your hand, okay? I did. I was like, I'm going to go up there and ask for his mantle or his anointing or something. I was like, I want what's on Graham's life. And so I go up there for prayer, And I go up to Graham and I said, Graham, can you pray for me? I want whatever God has put on you. Can you pray for me to have that? And he looks at me and he says, let me think about that. I'm 15 years old. I thought he would just be like, of course, you're a sweet little 15-year-old boy. Like, let me lay hands on you and pray for you. And he's like, no, let me think about that. And then I heard Bill Johnson say this. He said, I cannot give you what I have because I have gotten it in a place that you're unwilling to go to. A lot of us want what Heidi Baker has. A lot of us want what Bill Johnson has, or name it, John, whoever your favorite speaker has. But few of us recognize that they have that because they spend time with Jesus. And it's not because they're conference hoppers. It's not because they dwell in a church where the presence of God is tangible, even though that's important. It's important to go to those things, but we can idolize those things instead of coming to Jesus. And we fail to recognize where the true power lies in. It lies in himself. It's all in the person of Jesus. And we talk about kingdom here, kingdom now, and I want to talk a little bit about that with the time that we have today. And Jared, you're good. You don't have to stay up here. But thank you so much, Jared, for being up here. Give it up for Jared. He serves so faithfully. But I want to read to you guys Genesis 28, chapter 10, or 28, verse 10 through 17 in the NLT translation. And this is what it says. It's going to be on the screen, but this is what it says. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. And as he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from earth up to heaven. How many people would want a dream like that? That's a pretty crazy dream. And it says this, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. And at the top of the stairway stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather, Abraham, and the God of your father, Isaac. And the ground you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you. Say, I am with you.
I am with
you. How many are thankful that Jesus is with you? Come on, the Bible says he will never leave you or forsake you. That's good news today. And I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land and I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It's none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. I'm going to read verse 16 again. This is what he says. Surely the Lord is in this place. And that word aware is actually the word know, which means yada. So it's this Hebrew word that means yada. It's an experiential, intimate knowledge that God was here. And he says, I actually didn't even know that the Lord was here, but he is here. How many know that you can actually be in a place and not recognize that Jesus is really there? That's a crazy thing. That's not what I'm talking about today, but that's just wild. So he says, surely the Lord is in this place. I was not even aware of it. And he says, this is the very gateway to heaven. I want you guys to turn now to John chapter 1, verse 45. Just going to give you guys a little bit of scripture, and then we're just going to unpack this. But this is John 1, verse 45, and it says this. Now we're in the New Testament. Okay, this is Jesus is here. It says, Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son from Nazareth. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth? It's like, surely the Lord was in this place, I didn't even know it. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Caldwell? All right. Come and see for yourself, Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, now here is a genuine son, this is Jesus talking to Nathanael, of Israel, a man of complete integrity. How do you know about me? How do you yada me? Come on, Pastor Matthew. How do you gnosko me? How do you intimately know me? Nathanael here is just like Jacob in the Old Testament. He's standing in the presence of the Lord, and he misjudged Jesus before just because he's a man from Nazareth. And now in one moment where Jesus says, hey, this is who you are, Nathanael. Nathanael's eyes open, and he actually sees the Lord rightly for who he truly is. So this is powerful. And Nathanael goes, how do you gnosko me? How do you know me intimately, Lord? And Jesus says this, I could see you, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip found you. Nathanael exclaimed, that's a word of knowledge, by the way. So Jesus is operating in a supernatural gift. He saw Nathanael before Nathanael ever saw the Lord. And it says this, Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of God, the King of Israel. One interaction with Jesus. Woo! And he has a revelation of who Jesus truly is. He says, you're the Son of God, the King of Israel. Now check out what Jesus says. Jesus asked him, do you believe this just because I told you I have seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things. Say greater things. You will see greater things than this. And then he said, I tell you the truth. You will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man. The one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. So we just read in Genesis 28 that Jacob sees a stairway connecting between heaven and earth, and he said he saw the Lord at the top of the stairway. We fast forward to John and this interaction with Nathanael, and Jesus says to Nathanael, remember Genesis 28? I am the stairway. Remember what Jacob saw when he says, surely the Lord is in this place and I'm not even aware of it. Surely the Lord is here, I'm not even aware of it. He sees a stairway into us when we read Genesis 28. We're thinking that's just a really cool supernatural thing. But Jesus in John 1 is saying, guess what? I am the bridge that connects your world to heaven's world. I am the stairway that actually intersects from earth up to heaven. And Jesus is saying here, my role, what I am here to actually do is to bring my kingdom here. And Jesus is saying here in John chapter 1 that wherever I am, heaven also is. I have a friend named Ben Fitzgerald, and he's friends with this girl named Sama Habib, and Sama was a girl, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but basically she got saved, I think it was somewhere in the Middle East. She was a Muslim girl, she gets saved, and Sama, this girl in her 20s, starts an underground church in the Middle East where it's illegal to actually be a Christian. She starts an underground church. Her parents forsake her, kick her out of the house. She starts this underground church, and at her underground church, I think it was like in the first month, she saw 2,500 people get saved. In the first month of giving her heart to Jesus, she's seeing revival in the Middle East. And at this underground church, she's setting up for service. She opens up the tithe box, and there's a bomb in the tithe box. And Sama opens up this tithe box, and she hears this beeping, and she starts to run. And she only gets probably 20 feet from the tithe box, and this bomb explodes in the church, and multiple bombs start exploding all over her church. And I obviously, you guys know from me telling you this story. Well, let me just get to the story. I'm not going to ruin it for you. But in this story, she felt death like come upon her, and she felt her spirit start to leave her body. And in a moment, she's face to face with Jesus. She's face to face with the Lord, completely lifeless, face to face with the Lord. And she tells, obviously now you know she's still alive because I heard the story from her, but she tells the story of when she sees Jesus, and she talks about this man, this Jewish man that she was face to face with. She talks about the love in his eyes. She talks about when she looked at him, the thing that she was most aware of when she saw Jesus was the measure of her selfish heart. When she was looking in the eyes of perfect love, she was aware in her heart that she's actually, even as a Christian, we asked her this. Like, we were like, Sama, you're telling me, even in seeing 2,500 people saved, starting an underground church, you felt selfish still, even in your Christianity? And she was like, in the presence of perfect love, I recognize that the measure of my heart, I was still fully living for myself. In the presence of perfect love, because there is no selfishness in love. Love is self-sacrificing. Love is self-giving. So she's in heaven with the Lord. And this is the part I want to share with you. One of the students I was with raises their hand. We were like in a small group setting with Ben and a couple others. She raises her hand and she goes, Sama, that's so cool about Jesus. Can you tell us what heaven was like? And listen to what Sama says. I will never forget this. She says, heaven? Jesus is heaven. You want to know about heaven? Jesus is heaven. And she said this, I would rather be in hell with Jesus than in heaven without him. Sometimes we put so much of our attention on a realm that we forsake the person of that realm. Sometimes we want so much about, we want an open heaven and we want these experiences and we want these encounters, and we forget that all of these things come out of the king of that kingdom. It's not so that you just have an experience and go, well, I was shake, rattling, and rolling on the ground. Well, that's good. But do you know Jesus more after that experience? Because it's all actually supposed to bring you to a man. At the end of the day, all of the things that we do, all of these encounters that we have, it's not coming because you're in an open heaven. It's because you're in the presence of the king of that kingdom. And how do I know that? Why am I saying that today? I'm saying that because Jesus is literally saying, I am the gateway between heaven and earth. You're talking about an open heaven. I'm the stairway that connects both of those realms. You're talking about Jacob's stairway. I am that ladder. If you want to experience the things of the Spirit, just come to Jesus. Come to him. And you will experience that heaven is not a place, it's a person. All of the kingdom, all of heaven is inside of the person of Jesus. Listen to what Sama says. I would rather be in hell with them than in heaven without them. She says, heaven has nothing to offer me apart from the person of Jesus. And we've made Christianity about going to heaven when we die. Jesus says, I am not the way to heaven. He says, I'm the way to the Father. It's all about us being reconnected in relationship with God. So good. And here's what I'm afraid of in church is that in our own strength, we are building towers of Babel. And what I mean by that is we are trying to grow up into all of these things based on our own strength. We're trying to open up a heaven, build revival, do all of these things on our own strength when Jesus comes down and he already brings heaven to earth in his person, in his presence. Are you guys following this today? Or is this just good to me? I think this is so good because in Scripture, when we see Jesus get baptized and on the Mount of Transfiguration, the heavens open. And what happens when God speaks and the heavens are opened? Well, Peter, when we read Mount Transfiguration, let's just turn there. I think it's pretty funny. Matthew 17, Peter, if you guys are familiar with this story, the Mount Transfiguration, it's Matthew 17. It's a pretty crazy supernatural experience. But Peter sees Moses and Elijah. I mean, this is just crazy. Let's read this. This is 17, verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. And his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter does not know what he's talking about, which happens a lot with Peter. He's awesome, but in this moment, he's like, hey, this is so cool what's happening right now. Let's build a church for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus on this mountain. That's what he's saying. Let's build a tabernacle. We don't want to make this stop. If we do this, we're going to have the biggest mega church in all of Jerusalem because we've got Moses, Jesus, and Elijah. So let's build a tabernacle here. And this is what happens. It says this here. Is it good for us to be here? He wants to make a tabernacle. While he was still speaking, the Father interrupts Peter. So Peter wasn't even done talking. He was probably going to keep jabbering about, come on, and we can do this and this and this. He's in vision mode. He's like, come on, heaven on earth. I probably would have done the same thing. Let's be honest. I probably would have done the same thing. Come on, you got Moses, Jesus, and Elijah. That's incredible. It says this, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved son. Not, yes, build that church. Make a tabernacle. Let's have a crazy conference with you three. We could take over the world. Moses, Jesus, and Elijah, come on. No, the Lord, Father, doesn't say anything about Moses, doesn't say anything about Elijah, says everything about Jesus. And in an open heaven, in a supernatural experience, God is not talking about everything that Peter sees. He's talking about his son. An open heaven is not for us just to have crazy experiences. It's for us to have a revelation of Jesus. Every time in Scripture, looking at Genesis 28, John 1, Jesus' baptism, what did the Father say at Jesus' baptism? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I love and am well pleased with. This is my Son." Again, I feel like the Father needs to remind him, "Peter, do not let your eyes get caught up on these things. Look at my Son. Look at my Son." He interrupts him. This is so important to the Father. Oh, I feel this. This is so important to the Father that he's saying, "Before you come up with some crazy doctrine, Peter, before you distract everybody's attention on what really matters here, let me interrupt you and remind you that my church is not built on anything else but the revelation of my Son." It's not built on anything else. And in this open heaven, I mean, such a crazy experience, the Father says this, "This is my beloved Son," again, he says this, "in whom I am well pleased. All of my pleasure, all of my delight is on this man." And he says this, "Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. What's the Father saying? My Son is greater than Moses and Elijah. My Son is greater than angels. My Son surpasses all of these other things. Greater than all of these experiences, you have got to get caught up in the revelation of my Son. Why? Because when we truly see the Son for who he is, we truly see who we were called to be. We can get distracted, hear me, church, we can get distracted with so many other things. And it keeps us from seeing Jesus rightly. And when we see him for who he truly is, guess what? You're always walking in an open heaven because if Jesus is with you, he takes heaven with him. We want to try and I'm saying things. I'm not saying that you believe this, but I'm kind of preaching to almost like a realm this morning. There's this lie that we believe, I think that I've believed, I'll say that. I'm not going to throw anyone else under the bus. I'll throw myself under there. And I've believed this lie that I have to try and poke holes in the heavenlies to have an open heaven. And if I go to church enough, if I pray enough, if I fast enough, again, all of those things are important. And I have failed to realize that if I actually just have the Son, the King is not separate from his kingdom. If I actually just seek Jesus, if I spend time with Jesus, he's not apart from heaven. He is an open heaven. He is the stairway. I mean, from when from John 1 until now, has Jesus stopped being the stairway? Has he stopped being the connecting point between heaven and earth? No. He's the bridge and the way for us to experience all that God wants us to have. Oh, I don't know if it's fully clicking yet, so let me just show you one more thing. Okay, Colossians chapter 1. Actually, Colossians 2. Are you guys okay? I am not mad at anybody. I'm totally in a good mood, I promise. I just think that this is so important to be preached. We can pray to see angels all day long, but if we don't see Jesus, you can all day long want to have a heavenly experience, but if we don't see Jesus, Colossians 2, verse 2 says this, "that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in the true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself." Let me read that again. "Having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery that is Christ himself, in whom, talking of Christ, are hidden all, say all, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ himself. I say this to you, listen, listen to Paul. This is his rebuke to the church of Colossae. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I'm absent in body, nevertheless I'm with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, in overflowing with gratitude. Listen to this, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy of empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head of over all rule and authority, and in him. How many times does he have to say in him for us to get it? Paul is saying here, he's saying, you guys, the mystery of the ages that's been waiting to be revealed is not a portal, not an angelic visitation, not an open heaven. It's Jesus. The mystery that we all are, the longing, the aching in our heart, is not for all of these external things. Again, hear my heart. I love all those things. If that happens to you, yay, that's so good. But for me, my heart's desire in these days is that those things would pull me into a deeper understanding of the Son. Because if we're all honest in here, we don't actually see him fully rightly. Because if we actually saw Jesus for who he truly is, I think we would be transfigured like him. We would be transformed like him when we actually see Jesus' eyes, when we actually understand what's in his heart. You can't help but be transformed through the revelation of God's Son. And I think a lot of these things that are so hard, talk about the area of healing, for example. A lot of these things that are so hard for us maybe to understand or grab a hold of, or why healings maybe don't happen, I don't think it's because we don't have faith sometimes. I think it's because we are putting our faith in something else. Maybe our prayer. Maybe it's a form of godliness, but denying the power. We're putting our faith in something else other than Jesus being the healer. Let me say that again. I'm saying a hard thing, and I can get totally corrected for this. I don't know everything. But I'm saying this is, I feel like sometimes when I pray for the sick and I don't see the results I want, is because I'm putting more faith in who I am with God than the God who heals. I put more faith in my prayer, and hopefully my prayer is spiritual and that I had a good week with no sin, than Jesus being the healer and the lover of that person's soul, and he's the one that does that work. Are you following me? And so, help me, Jesus. I want us to get caught up to this thing because, I've heard Michael Culiano say this, where sometimes we want to talk about other things because how can you talk enough about Jesus? Or why would you just talk about Jesus alone? And we should talk about all these other things, and we fail to understand that all of these other things come from him. And at the end of the day, the message that Paul the Apostle preached was Christ and him crucified. And the reason that we still are unfree in our souls is because we're coming to all of these other things than the Anointed One himself. And we're looking for secondary answers to a solution that only comes from Jesus. And for me, realizing that right now in this moment, I want you guys to understand this, and Jared, you can come on up, but I want you guys to understand this morning, that right now, because Jesus lives in your heart, you're already in an open heaven. And that the kingdom of God, what Pastor Bill was talking about this weekend, God is looking for kingdom carriers who will release that. But how can you give something that you don't have? And the reality is a lot of us, I'll say this again, I for so many years believed I didn't have the kingdom and I had to work as a Christian to obtain the kingdom. But once I obtained Christ, I got the kingdom. So let me say this again. Once I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, what does the Bible says? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So where is the kingdom? In the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit? In you. So where is the kingdom? In you. Are you guys seeing this? So we're not trying to, and I understand what we're saying. I understand when we're saying your kingdom come. I love how Pastor Bill said it this week. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. It's more of a decree than a plea. And Jesus said this. Repent and see that the kingdom is at hand. Not that it's far away. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within your midst. Why? Because the person of the Holy Spirit, when he comes, the kingdom is at hand. It's not something far away that we have to pull down. It's something that we have to put our faith in and understand that that realm and reality is within us and wants to come out to the world around us. Are you guys seeing this? So let me just kind of seal this up, and hopefully I didn't confuse you so much that you're like, what just happened to me? I want you guys to understand, and I want us all to understand today that Jesus is not separate from his kingdom. And that wherever his presence is, his kingdom is also there, and our focus has to be him. And when our focus is the Son, everything in our life starts to change. At the revelation of Jesus. Think about Peter again one more time this morning. And then I want to pray for us and have our prayer team come forward. But when you think about Peter, he's focusing on everything else. And can I say, maybe Peter in this moment has grown familiar with the Son because he's been with him for so long. Remember how I talked about that last week? How many know that in our Christianity, we can become familiar with Jesus? Oh, I've heard it before. I already know what Pastor Joan is talking about. Been there, done that. And then you have a car sticker that says, church, been there, done that. Christianity, been there, done that. And you've got the Christian t-shirt to prove it. And all the stuff. And we can grow familiar with him because we've been around him, but we've not engaged with him. You know, you can be married to someone and have the title of husband and wife, but never engage with the person that you have covenant with? I'm stepping on toes. It's possible for you to have the title Christian, but never engage with Christ. Because we've prayed a prayer to go to heaven, and we have failed to recognize this whole thing is all about him. And all I want in my life is to get caught up in the mystery of Jesus himself. He is this endless well. I've heard Stephanie Gretzinger say this, that Jesus is the water and he is the well. He's this endless well for us to discover, and I never want to grow tired with him. I never want to grow complacent with him and let religion or the things around Jesus distract me from where it all comes from in the first place. And me to realize there's so much more in this man. If this is the mystery of God to be revealed, then I want him. I need to fall in love with him again. I need to let my passion rise up for him again. Because if I make it about everything else other than Jesus, I will burn out because he's the all-consuming fire. Yeah, if you want to respond, you can respond today, however you want to respond. I was going to call prayer team forward, but I just feel in my heart today, I don't want to make it about anything else other than knowing Jesus. And I know it sounds so simple, but in my life, I have made it about everything else other than him. I've been a Christian since I was 13. I've prayed some funny prayers, you guys. I've prayed some silly prayers. I've made it about so many other things than him. And all I want in these days is to behold him and actually see him face to face. This is not just like some Christian cliche thing I'm saying. It's something deeper in me than I can even put into words, of this reality of, if we don't have a Peter experience where we go, yeah, Lord, but what about this? And the Lord goes, stop. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You need to hear it again, Peter. Listen to him. Stop listening to that podcast and listen to my son. Stop listening to that other preacher and listen to my son. Stop living off of secondhand revelation. Come up to the mountain yourself and hear and see my son. Because when you see my son and you listen to him, you'll become what I've always saw you to be, what I've always created you to be. But when you make it about every other thing, and you fail to see who Jesus is clearly, everything else is distorted in your life. A.W. Tozer says this, the most important question that you'll ever ask in your life or ever respond to in your life is, who is Jesus to you? Because who Jesus is to you is who he'll be through you. Come on. If you want to respond this morning and come forward, and just meet with the Lord. I just want to create a space this morning. That's where I want to be this morning. I want to meet with Jesus face to face. And I'm not going to have prayer team come forward, because if you're a part of our prayer team and you want a fresh vision of Jesus this morning, I want to just open that up for you. I want to just create a moment. And this is your first time here and this is new to you. I pray it would be an experience that changes your life forever, that you would actually see the Lord, that you would actually see the Son, that you would get caught up in him, that we as a church would get caught up in Jesus. In Jesus. We would see you rightly, that we would see the Son and love the Son. If the Father is saying, this is the greatest revelation in this supernatural experience, it's not all of these other things. It's my son. I pray that we would not be distracted this morning, and that we would see you rightly, that we would see you, Jesus, and behold the Son. That we would see the Son. And Father, I ask that you would speak to us this morning. And I feel like for some of us in this room, it's a time of repentance. It's a time of repentance for us to say, Lord, forgive me for making it about all of these other things and not you. Because all of these things come from you. We behold you, Jesus. We behold you. 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 We love 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 you, Lord. We love you, Lord. I pray, awaken first love again. Awaken first love again. Let us see you, Jesus. I pray that, like Samal even said, I'd rather be in hell with you than in heaven without you. You are heaven, Lord. Your presence is heaven to us. Your presence is heaven. You are enough, Jesus. Lord, when principalities and powers are saying, look another direction, we say, no, you're enough. You're enough. When everyone's trying to make it about everything else other than you, we behold you and we want to see you rightly. It's not about any other man. It's about you, Jesus. It's about you. It's about you, Lord. It's about you. It's all about you. It's always been about you, Lord. Oh, we say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Kingdom of God come, will of God be done in this place today. That we would see the Son, that we would love the Son, that we would minister to the Son, that we would know, gnosko, intimately know the Son, that no one in this room would be like the Matthew 7 men who said, I did all of these things for you, and your response was, but I never knew you. I never gnoskoed you. You never had fellowship with me. Sure, you healed the sick. Sure, you raised the dead. But you and I had no fellowship or covenant. Lord, let it be so far from us, Lord, that we would fellowship with the Son. Our first calling is not a stage. It's a person. We're called into fellowship with you. We're called into intimacy with you. We're called to know you and behold you. To taste and see that the Lord is good. To taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, just listen to him. Just take a moment, just listen to him. What's he saying? What's he saying to you? Let him minister to your heart. Lord, give us clear vision of who you are this morning. A visitation is a visitation with the Son. Not with some ethereal presence. You are your presence. Your presence is you. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name.